Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking 4 smart money tips for your tax return.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton-Game. It will expand your brain.
All right, so some of you probably have filed your tax return while others of you may be dragging your heels a little bit. It feels like every year I end up filing an extension. And so it's primarily because I don't get all my documents and paperwork together. So if you're in that position and you got to file an extension, no worries. You have until October 15th to file your actual return. However, that doesn't mean you have till October 15th to pay whatever you owe, right? So even if you owe money, you still got to ante up the money by April 18th. We have a few extra days this year because of the way the 15th falls. So tax day actually isn't until April 18th. So hopefully you are, planning something fun to do with your return, because I think that, especially with social media and a lot of articles that you read, like we kind of get in this, I don't know, it's like a funk, right? Almost that we have to be completely debt free, that we can't have any fun with our money, that, we almost have to be like these robotic people with our money and pay everything off and live like, as minimalist as possible. And, I've always sort of been anti that position. And I think, especially lately, I've just read a ton of articles, I think over the last month or so, about people who have, adopted that lifestyle of living completely debt-free, that is the most responsible way to do life. And again, I will say this so many times, so please don't like misinterpret my words. I think it's great to be debt-free. I mean, that is a great goal, like not to owe anybody any money. That is freaking amazing. If you pay off your student loans or you pay off your house or you pay off your car, like that is reason to celebrate, right? That took some like sweat and investment for you to be able to do that. But I think, getting like sucked in the vortex of really having to live your entire life debt-free, that's really where I have a problem. I just read this article the other day and by somebody who, was following a certain somebody in the financial world, and their whole motto is debt-free, living debt-free. And so, like, she literally killed herself to be debt-free, right? They had a house, they paid off the house. I mean, they lived this sort of minimalist life. Well, it got to the point where she was having another baby and they just needed a bigger house. And so, her and her husband, they were young, right? I'm talking like late 20s, early 30s. Her and her husband were talking about, well, what should we do? Like, we need more space. And he's like, I don't care. Like, I want to buy a bigger house and I don't care how much debt it is. And so they actually fought. They had to go to marriage counseling. I mean, this was like a big deal, right? Because she had gotten so kind of like a military style about spending, like every cent was so calculated that there was no fun left. And what she really realized was that she was debt-free, yes, but she wasn't actually living a life and it was causing all of these problems. So they bought a new house. They immediately got, $250,000 in debt, but she did smart things, right? So she figured out, well, instead of paying my mortgage 30 years, let me pay it off in 15 years. So she wasn't killing herself. She wasn't in this like rat race to be debt free, but she was still like making a smart money decision. And I think that's really where the balance needs to be, because it's so easy to try and kill ourselves, like, to pay off our student loans in 2 years and, to pay cash for our car and to pay off our mortgage in 5 years. But again, like I always tell you, like money is not linear. It just doesn't work that way. And you may go through your whole life and you may be able to be debt free. And that may be an amazing story for you. But I'm here to tell you that 99.99% of the people that I work with, that I know, that I coach, that I speak to, you name it, that's just not the case, right? There's something that comes along, some blip that comes along, and it just causes you to have debt. So I think instead of us like walking around feeling like we're inadequate if we have debt, right? Like we're feeling like guilty and stressed out, like I think we just need to own it a little bit. Yeah, I have debt. Yeah, this is where I am in my life. However, I'm being smart about that debt, right? So I'm paying it off the best way I can. I'm trying my hardest not to like put more debt on top of that debt. And I'm knowing my numbers every month. And yeah, sometimes I go over budget, but who cares, right? I think that's like a much better place to be. So I wanted to approach that thinking a little bit with talking about your tax return, because again, it's like people get sucked in this vortex that if you get, $5,000 back for your tax return, you should immediately put
$5,000 on your credit cards and pay off your debt. And while that's great, and that's, I'm not knocking you. I mean, maybe that is the smartest decision. I don't know. Like, there's an asterisk mark with this because I don't know you and I don't know your individual situation. So I can't blanket statement anything. But, you know, if you take that $5,000 and you pay off debt, you've got $5,000 less of debt, but you know, have you done any of the other smart money moves? I mean, do you have an emergency fund? Are you saving for retirement? Are you using a little bit of that money to have fun? Are you putting some of that money towards, you know, your kids' college if you have a little one right now? What are you doing with that money other than just getting rid of the debt? And again, if getting rid of the debt makes most sense for you, do it. Do it all day long, right? But if not, if you've not done some of the like really basic and yet super duper important like financial steps that I talk about on the podcast, then start there.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Right. Start with your emergency fund. Start funding that. Just get yourself a cash account because you're going to need it. At some point in time, you're going to need it, right? But I wanted to bring you, you know, a few kind of other ways of thinking about your tax return. So tip number one is, you know, take whatever stash of money you have and fund your 401k up to the match. Remember, the match that your company is offering you is free money. And it is absolutely silly for you. I was gonna say like a much stronger word, but let's go with silly. Silly sounds good, right? It's silly for you not to put money in your 401k up to the match, because they're doubling. They're giving you, it's like going to Baskin Robbins and you're paying for one scoop and they're giving you another scoop. It's just a win all day long, right? So if you're having trouble putting enough money in your 401k up to the match and you're getting a really large refund, put it there. You know, not only do you get, not only does it lower your taxable income, but you're getting that match. So that's a great, great place, you know, to start to fund you. And this is money going to help you in the future. And I think that we don't think about that enough, right? Like we pay everybody else, but I want you to pay yourself. Think about yourself. If you don't work for a company or if they don't have a match in your money, you can still put it in the 401k. You can open an IRA for yourself. Maybe you could put it into a Roth. You know, there's lots of other ways you can quote unquote fund yourself. You can put up to $5,500 in an IRA or a Roth in 2017. So put the money there, or put a portion of the money there. Also, if you have a health savings account, these are brilliant, right? It's a place for you to put tax deductible money that you can use towards your healthcare. And then when you retire down the line, you can use that money towards retirement. Fund your HSA account, right? Or fund a portion of it. But do something that actually helps propel you forward. And again, not that paying off debt does not help propel you forward. So don't mistake me with this, right? But I'm saying if you put some of the money into a 401k, an IRA, a Roth, an HSA, whatever it may be, the opportunity for it to compound and grow larger and be more beneficial for you is the win, right? That's what we're looking for. All right, number two. So this is just another way to kind of think about paying off debt. So put extra amount, and it's a question mark how much whatever it is for you in your situation, per month on your student loan. So let's look an example, right? So I had someone ask me, you know, does it really make a difference if I got, you know, $2,400 back in my tax return and I put $200 a month on my student loan extra? Does it really make a difference? Well, let's look at it. So if you had $35,000 in student loan debt with a 5.7% interest rate, your payment would be $383 for 10 years to pay that off, right? If you took an extra $200 a month, you would cut your loan down to 5.9 years to repay. That is significant. You're almost cutting it in half. It takes the total paid from $45,960 to $41,301. So you're saving there about, roughly $4,000 or $5,000. So it doesn't have to be $200 for you. It could be $50 or $100. It could be $500. Whatever it is, it's got to be an amount that could, you know, is comfy in your budget. It's comfy, can sit there. You can pay it every month. You're not going to freak out about it. You're not going to get like that impulse to like, nah, I don't know if I should. Should I push the button to pay the extra amount? I don't know. I've been there. And I've done that, right? So just put it on auto deduct so you take the decision out of your hands, but make sure that you can actually pay that amount. But over at Student Loan Hero, I love their calculator. They've got this great calculator where you can put in how much extra you want to pay. And then it will show you, you know, how significant it could be in your loan. It's a great way. Like if, let's say you get, you know, $3,000 back and you're like, well, I want to pay extra towards my student loans, but I don't want to put all the $3,000 on it now, right? So put the $3,000 in your high yield savings account that's earning interest, and then each month divvy out a little amount toward your student loan. You know, maybe you could actually find, you know, an extra $50 or so in your budget to add on top of this. So it starts to become more powerful, and it doesn't feel like you're giving up that whole $3,000 all in one fellow swoop, right? Okay, number three it's still a good time. Rates are still low. We're probably going to have another rate increase this year, and we're probably going to have a couple more next year. So they're going to really start ticking up. But while they're still low, it's a great time for you to put a down payment on a new car if you need to take advantage of these really low interest rates. Because once they're gone, probably after 2018, 2019, they're not going to come back really soon. Now, they're not going to go from, you know, 2% to 10% overnight. That's not going to happen. It's going to be a very gradual incline. If it went overnight, the economy would freak out. And so that's why they don't do it that way. So it's these little gradual baby steps. But when you put a down payment on a car, when you're buying a car, you also have more negotiating leverage room. So you have the ability to say, you know, I've got $5,000 to put down. I've got a trade-in worth, I don't know, $7,000, whatever. You pick the number, right? And so the more money and more cash you kind of have up front, I have found the more negotiating power you have. And this varies depending on the car, depending on the dealership, depending on the time of year and the time of day. And I don't know whether it's 70 degrees out or 50. I don't know. You get what I'm going at, right? But you do have the ability to negotiate a little bit more versus if you walk in and you're like, well, I have no money down, I have nothing to trade in, and I need a new car, right? You just don't have as much oomph as the person who's got a little cash to put in.
When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial.
Now, is dumping all that cash in a car the smartest decision? Well, you could argue, we could argue back and forth on that, right? If you have no emergency fund, probably not. It's probably not a great idea, because if you don't know this, like literally the second that you buy a new car and you sign your little name on the documents and you get in your car and you're so ecstatic because it smells like heaven in the car, and then you go to drive off the lot, you lose value on your car. Like the minute your front wheels go bloop over the little, what, driveway? Driveway. That's what I'm looking for. You lose value in your car, right? So, you know, cars are not the most, they're not the best asset to have. They just depreciate and they're worth nothing in a few years. And then when you go to trade them in, you don't really get anything for your trade-in. But if you need a new car, you know, it's all about doing it smartly, right? Okay. Number four, so if you own a home and you have something called a HELOC, a home equity line of credit, a great tip with your refund, again, it's sort of the same as the student loan payment, is to really supercharge the payoff with extra payments. And this can help to counteract interest rate hikes because a home equity line, in case you don't know, it's what's considered a second mortgage. So you have your primary, your first mortgage on your property, and then you can have this HELOC that kind of stands behind it that helps make up your total loan balance. Well, home equity line of credit is kind of like, it's almost a little bit like a credit card, right? It's got an interest rate that moves up and moves down, and with prime going up, your HELOC interest rate's going to start ticking up. And so again, it's not going to go from, you know, 5% to 10% overnight, but it is going to start ticking up over the next few years. And, you know, I would guess by the end of 2018, like you're going to look at your payment and be like, ooh, that's a little bit higher than it was before. And that is kind of the risk that you take with a home equity line of credit. However, if you start dumping extra cash on it and you start supercharging the payoff, a couple of things happen, right? So you're getting rid of the payment faster, you're cutting down the amount of years, but then you're also freeing up some capital, potentially depending on what type of home equity line of credit you have, that you could use if you get in an emergency, right? So it doesn't vanish. But, you know, when you're dealing with anything where there's a variable rate attached. So if your student loans are the same way, if you chose that variable payment option because it looked prettier and lower and cheaper and better on the outside, just know that in an interest environment that we're in where things are increasing, your payment is also going to start blipping up. And so you really need to be aware of that and you need to be able to make that payment fit in your budget, right? So if you're really like tight on your budget, I would suggest doing whatever you can, like really evaluating your spending and figuring out how you can make this work, or thinking about possibly refinancing your student loans into a fixed rate. I am a fixed rate junkie. I owned a home that I sold, and I used to do business consulting to mortgage and real estate agents. And so I have seen what happens in these situations when everything's going great and variable rates are really low, but then when they start ticking up, how it can really pinch your budget. So I just don't ever want you to be in that particular situation. I just want you to be, you know, super smart with your spending, with your budget, and just be a little bit on top of it. That's why these kind of weekly check-ins, these money dates, even with yourself, are really important because it helps you get ahead of things so you don't get like backed into a corner and then you're like, well, crap, now how do I figure this out, right? That's kind of the worst place to be. Although you may be there several times in your life, I'm not going to lie to you, right? Again, like I get so mad at people who try to paint this picture that if you follow these however many steps that your financial life is going to be easy and I shouldn't say easy not the word, but that you're going to have it all under control. And it's just not reality. I mean, it just doesn't work that way, right? Maybe if you lived in some like super isolated place, maybe it might work that way, but I just have never, in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that I've worked with over the last 11 years, I've never seen that be the case. So I just want to be super real with you and tell you the reality of life. You know, sometimes it's great and sometimes it's not so great. Sometimes it's great for a really, 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 really long time. And that's awesome. Like if you're in that situation, man, you are in an awesome position. You know, make smart money moves. Know what you got, know what you're spending, don't get lazy about it, because also what happens is when things start going good, what happens, right? we get lazy about it. We're like, well, I don't need to watch my budget. I don't need to watch what I'm spending. I can spend an extra 100 here or 50 here. It's not a big deal, right? And then the money starts like evaporating. And I don't know if you've ever had this situation yet in life where let's take your tax return, right? You get this like $5,000 you put in your bank account and it is vaporized and you don't know where it went. So the first tip, I should have actually said this in the beginning, is whatever you get on your tax return, immediately move it over to your savings account. Get it outside of your bank account, because if it's in your bank account, it's going to go in that like deep dark hole that extra money goes and we can't find it. So move it out, move it into your savings account, get it in there, and then come up with your strategy, come up with your plan of what you want to do, all right? So these are just four kind of different tips to talk about what to do with your tax return. And hopefully you've got your strategy all in place. You're going to have a little bit of fun, because I want you to have a little bit of fun, because it is life. We only do this thing one time. So we kind of got to do it right. As always, you can follow me on Twitter @ShaunaGame, Instagram @millennial_money.